Normally don't do the announcements, so at this point you're probably sick of hearing from me already. I haven't even started the sermon yet. I apologize. I want to start today by having you think of all the different ways that we refer to kind of the act of or the idea of becoming a Christian. Someone's conversion to Christianity. I'll throw out a couple. You probably think of some more, but being born again, right? It's one that you've heard, or receiving salvation, giving your life to Christ, coming to the faith, accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, coming to repentance, asking Jesus into your heart. Those are probably all different ways we've heard people refer to becoming a Christian, right? Some of those are pretty good. I have to tell you, some of those are pretty bad explanations of what it means to become a Christian. But if we think about that, what do we really mean? What does it mean to become a Christian? We talk about conversion from your old self into a follower of Jesus Christ. We use all these different things to explain it, and maybe even you haven't thought about it much before. What does it entail? What does it really mean? So our passage today is Romans chapter 6. We've made it to Romans 6 in our study of the book of Romans. I know it feels like I started this study 2 years ago. I did not. But we're all the way to chapter 6. I feel like I'm doing good. We made it this far. We're in Romans chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 15 through 23. That's a passage for today. But where it begins is with Paul asking another one of his rhetorical questions. He starts in verse 15 by saying, "What then, should we sin because we are not under law but under grace?" Absolutely not. So he starts with that question. Should we sin because we're not under law but we're under grace? Now, as we look at his question and what he's about to say, it might seem like that has nothing to do with what I just asked. But what we're going to see is in Paul's explanation here, in his explanation of answering his own question that he just asked, we're going to look at our life in Christ in a way that probably we miss so often in the modern church. In our modern society, in modern Christianity, especially in America, there's an aspect here that he's going to talk about that we don't talk about very often. And as we get through it, you might not like it, honestly, the way he talks about it. But it's so important, and it's foundational, actually, for what we believe, and not just what we believe, but how we act every single day. This is foundational for how you act from the moment you wake up to when you go to bed every single night. And yet, it's something we don't talk about very often as Christians. And so this is a major aspect to our conversion to Christianity, what it means to become a Christian. And he's going to clarify all that for us today, and it's really cool. Now, if you remember, and you've been here for our study, a couple weeks ago we read Romans 6:1, where he says, "What should we say then? Should we continue to sin so that grace may multiply?" Now, it might seem like he's already made this argument once, right? It sounds like almost the exact same question as verse 15. And as if you just pick up the Bible and you just read chapter 6, you might go, man, Paul just keeps repeating himself through this whole chapter over and over and over again. It seems kind of redundant. But actually, there's just incredible details in here that explain like more and more intricacy in what it means to be a Christian, what it means to become a follower of Jesus Christ. An illustration. I actually have two illustrations for what I mean by that today. One, and this is going to shock you, is a car illustration, okay? I love it when I take my friends who are not really into cars to car shows. Because we get like maybe halfway in, and they're like, "All right, Shane, that's another car. Like, we're just looking at another car now. And you promised me ice cream. Can we leave?" But I'll try to explain to him, "No, you don't realize that they only made 100 in this color." Or I'll explain to him, "No, look at the details this guy hid in his pinstriping, along the side." Or, "Hey, check this out. The gauges look like the factory gauges, but his goes to 200 miles per hour in his car." Like, I'm trying to explain all these little details. You don't really notice them, unless you really stop and you look and you pay attention. Now, I have a different illustration than a car illustration for you today. And it's about quilts. Now, ever since I started hanging out with the quilting ladies, because they make me lunch, they do feed me. And actually, they ask for me to come, okay? I don't just barge in. But I've hung out with our quilting group. And through that, Deb has shown me many things about quilts that I didn't understand. One of the big ones is stitching. I had no idea there was like different kinds of stitching in a quilt. I just thought they sewed them together, and that's just all it was. And then I also didn't realize the squares or like the types of material they use. See, I used to go to the state fair and be like, you know how they have the, you know, the arts things at the state fair? And I was like, there's a blanket. There's another blanket. Why are all these blankets hanging on the wall that are different colors? But now you can stop and you can look and you go, wow, okay, I understand a little bit more about what they're doing. There's intricacies here. There's certain aspects that unless you stop and really appreciate it, you're not going to see it. And so I appreciate the quilts at the state fair a little more than before. First service, I tried to talk about some more details, but Deb's here this service, so I'm scared that I'm going to get the details wrong. So I'm not going to go into any more than that. That's my illustration. But that's what's beautiful about this passage in chapter 6. We're going to look, as we read through this, it seems like the same thing over and over again, but it is not. He gives us incredible detail about what it means to be a Christian, and again, an aspect of Christianity that we ignore a lot of times. In fact, I think a lot of times we ignore it on purpose because it might come across as offensive something that people don't really want to hear. So last two weeks, we talked about him explaining the fact at the beginning of chapter 6 that being a Christian is not just about being forgiven of your sin. Remember that? It's about what?
Freedom.
That's right. Being freed from your sin. It's not just about you've been forgiven. It's about the fact that you're not a slave to sin anymore. That's a beautiful aspect that we don't talk about very much. Well, this week he gets a little more extreme. This week he's going to explain how being devoted to sin and righteousness at the same time is impossible. To give your life to sin and to give your life to righteousness at the same time is impossible. In Matthew 6:24, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. Since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other." That's the illustration Paul's going to use today, is the service to two different masters. So last week we talked about our Emancipation Proclamation. You remember that? We talked all about our freedom and that there was a responsibility that comes with that freedom. Well, this week's lesson is much more extreme. Much more extreme. So I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm going to kind of give you my outline before I read through the verses, because I think it'll help you see the verses a little different before we even get into them. So the title of the message today is, What is conversion? What is conversion to Christianity? And the first thing we're going to see is conversion is self-surrender. It's giving up yourself. The second thing is conversion is an exchange of slaveries. Ooh. I don't know if we like that part, right? I'm exchanging one slavery for another. Number three, conversion is a change in direction from one direction to the other, actually opposite directions. And the last one, and this is interesting when we get there, conversion is an exchange of freedoms. It's an exchange of freedoms. So let's read our passage for today. It's Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. It says, "What then, should we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Absolutely not. Don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to that one you obey, either to sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But thank God that although you used to be slaves to sin, you obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching to which you were handed over. And having been set free from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. I am using a human analogy because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you offered the parts of yourselves as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater lawlessness, so now offer them as slaves to righteousness, which results in sanctification. For when you were slaves to sin, you were free with regard to righteousness. So what fruit was produced then from the things you are now ashamed of? The outcome of those things is death. But now, since you have been set free from sin and have become enslaved to God, you have your fruit, which results in sanctification, and the outcome is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Let me pray for us as we begin. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would come now and just give us clarity and wisdom as we look into your word. Father, remove our barriers. We might come here today not liking the words that we're reading or hearing. Lord, please get our opinion out of the way so that we can clearly just hear what you have to say. Lord, maybe we're skeptical today. Lord, maybe we're just tired because we didn't sleep good last night. Whatever barriers stand in our way right now from hearing what you have to say, I just ask you to remove those things and give us open ears, open hearts to hear what you have to say to us. Heavenly Father, hide me behind the cross and glorify Jesus Christ. He is the one and only person, human, man, and God, who should be glorified in this place here today. And so lift him up, glorify him, honor him. I ask that I would decrease and you would increase. I have no words of life and salvation apart from your words. And so, Father, we need to hear from you. We need to hear you speak, and only you can change lives. And so please come do this in this place. Use me in an awesome way or make a fool of me, whatever you need to be, whatever you need to do for me to be your messenger here in this place today. So, Father, I ask that you do that work in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing, and this is a simple idea, but it's really not something we talk about very often, especially when we're sharing the gospel with an unbeliever, and that's the idea that conversion, becoming a Christian, involves self-surrender. It involves giving up of yourself. Verse 16 today says, "Don't you know that if you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey, either of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" Now, during Paul's time, there was different kinds of slaveries. There was slaves being bought and sold, just like slavery we think of. There was also a kind of slavery where someone could offer themselves voluntarily to a master. You could offer yourself to work for someone in exchange for them providing for all your needs for the rest of your life. And here's one of the crazy things is Paul is basically likening conversion to that kind of slavery right now, is what he's doing. And this is a foundational understanding. This self-surrender to God is foundational to everything else he's about to say. This is an important point. And it hits our ears wrong. We don't like it very much a lot of times. What you've actually done at conversion is surrender yourself to Christ. And what he's saying here is if he is your master, sin can't be your master too. If he's your master, sin can't be your master too. My grandfather's generation had this wonderful phrase. The pastors would use this phrase all the time, and I miss it. I never heard it later in life, but this way my grandfather and all his guys would talk. They would say, "I surrendered to the ministry." You know, we usually say, "I became a pastor," or "the church voted me as the pastor," or "I became ordained," is one word we'll use. But my grandfather, his generation would say, you know, for instance, "I surrendered to the ministry in 1952. I love that phrase. We need to bring that phrase back. And not just for pastors, probably for all believers. "I surrendered to Jesus on this day." So remember this, conversion means a surrendering of your whole self to the service of God. Conversion means a surrendering of your whole self to the service of God. So once we get that foundational understanding right there, Paul now becomes more extreme and more black and white in his explanation. There's two options. The next thing we're going to talk about is conversion is an exchange of slaveries. Look at verses 17 and 18 now. "But thank God that although you used to be slaves to sin, you obeyed from the heart the pattern of teaching to which you were handed over. And having been set free from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness." Now, how many of us really liked that freedom talk last week? That was fun stuff, wasn't it? Talking about all our freedom. Being freed from sin. not quite as appealing this time. Basically, he's saying all human beings are servants in their nature. We are servants in our nature. And that there's really only two masters that exist. Sin and righteousness. Those are your options. But notice when Paul explains this is not a burden. Do you notice how he starts those two verses? Thank God. Thank God that you Roman Christians understood this teaching and obeyed this teaching. I think it's great that Paul didn't hide this aspect in his teaching, did he? He didn't say, come to Jesus, ask Jesus into your heart, and maybe a decade later I'll explain to you what it means to surrender your life to him. This was his teaching from the outset. This was his teaching from the very beginning. Paul says, thank God that you obeyed this teaching. What have the Roman people done? They've obeyed the teaching that was given to them. This is not an aspect that Paul hid because it might be unappealing. This is exactly the way he preached the gospel, that it was a surrender to Christ. I want to show you something really cool. In Romans 1:1, when he began this whole study, Paul introduces himself at the beginning of his letter by saying, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus. In the original Greek that this was written, the word he uses there is doulos. That is the Greek word for a servant or a slave. As we read this whole second half of chapter 6, he keeps using a word over and over again that's slave in there. Guess what the word is? Doulos, or douloi, which is the plural. See, when he introduces himself, what does he say? Paul, a slave to Jesus. A slave to Jesus. That's who I am. That is my identity. So here's what I want you to remember about this point. Conversion is a movement from being a slave to the work of sin into being a slave to the work of righteousness. That's our exchange. That's our exchange of our slaveries. And this idea is so often missed in our modern presentation of the gospel. That's not something we tell people very often. So, the next thing he explains, the next intricacy, the next square in the quilt, in verse 19, he says conversion basically is a change in direction. Verse 19. I am using a human analogy because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you offered the parts of yourselves as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater lawlessness, so now offer them as slaves to righteousness, which results in sanctification. Now, the first thing before we get into this change of direction, I love that Paul explains that this is a human illustration. The human illustration. It's kind of the idea that all illustrations fall short, whether it's a car show or a quilt. Because here's where this illustration falls short a little bit. Slave, and especially in our modern understanding of the word, implies that we were forced into this. Or that it's drudgery to be a slave or a servant. But brothers and sisters, let me remind you of this before we go any further. It is our privilege and joy to live in the service of Jesus Christ. It is a privilege and a joy to live in service to Jesus Christ. So then he goes on to explain why that is. Each of these directions represent a motion and a progression. One of them is a slow decline, and the other one is a slow incline to greater and greater things. What does he say about sin? It leads to more and more lawlessness. You're declining over time. You're moving in a direction that is leading to more hurt, more pain, more struggle, and eventually more suffering and more death. That's where you're going. That's the direction you're heading when you're a slave to sin. But there's an opposite direction. And that's that word, that's one of those words we use in it's in our church language, but we don't always know what it means. And that's the word sanctification. He says, when you're a slave to righteousness, it leads to sanctification. And what that word means is basically the opposite of what I just said. Every day, closer and closer to Christ. Every day, more peace and more joy. Every day, being made more and more like him. And it leads where? To life and life eternal. He gets into, when we get to Romans 8, you'll see a little bit more of kind of the where this road is heading. Get into Romans 8. Sometimes in 2027, I'm guessing, we'll be there. We'll get to Romans 8, trust me. But in Romans 8, verses 14 through 17, here's kind of where we're looking forward to. This is this progression. This is where we're heading. It says, "For all those who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back to sin, into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him." Sanctification means that I have a seat at the table in the house of God, and I'm being made more and more into his child every single day. This is actually where we get another church word called repentance. I grew up in church. I always tell people we were there all the time, and not just when it was open. We had the keys. I grew up in church, and the whole time I grew up, I thought repentance was kind of the same thing as asking for forgiveness. Anybody else kind of had that understanding of repentance growing up in church? It just means to ask for forgiveness. What repentance literally means is to turn around and head in the opposite direction. That's what we're talking about here. It's real repentance. I used to be going that way. Now I'm going that way. Actually, more accurately, I used to be going that way, and now I'm going that way. Yeah. That's what this means. Conversion is a change in direction. This is why there's great joy in serving Christ. This is why Paul praises God that the Romans have chosen to do this, these Roman Christians that he writes to. A new master, remember this, a new master means a change of direction from death to life. Last thing we see today is conversion is an exchange of freedoms. This is why it's so incredible. This is why it's so incredible. It's, everything gets flipped on its head right now. It's like this great paradox. It's so fun. Verses 20 through 22. Here's what it says. For when, now listen to this. He just, all of a sudden in verse 20, he flips around everything we've said so far. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free with regard to righteousness. So what fruit was produced then from the things you're now ashamed of? The outcome of those things is death. In verse 22. But now, since you have been set free from sin, you become enslaved to God. You have your fruit, which results in sanctification, and the outcome is eternal life. You realize that if you had remained separated from Christ, you have freedom? Paul just said it. There's freedom. When you were enslaved to sin, you had freedom. From what? From righteousness. Apart from Christ, you realize you do not have to do anything good or righteous ever. You have complete freedom from righteousness. It does not have to be a part of your life at all. You can leave it completely behind. That's the freedom that you had. And you gave up that freedom. Now, he says, when you had that freedom, what was the result? Stuff that you're ashamed of and death. That was the result when you were free from righteousness. But you were free. You were free from righteousness if that's what you wanted. Now when you came to Christ, guess what? You were enslaved. You were freed from one thing, but you were also enslaved to another thing, he says. You are a slave to God. You no longer have to sin. It doesn't have its grip on you anymore. You're freed from that. But you now are enslaved to God in righteousness. That's your new master. And what does he say the fruit is? What's the result? Sanctification and eternal life. That's the result now. That's the result. So here's what I want you to remember. Conversion is an exchange of freedoms. It's an exchange of freedoms. You no longer have the freedom to avoid righteousness, but you do have the freedom from the bondage of sin. You have exchanged your freedoms, and my goodness, that is a good trade. That is a good trade. So let me close with, I loved this part when I read this, when I studied this these last several weeks. I spent so much time, and then I had this moment. I've told you guys about these moments before when I got books. You know, some of you have been in my office when I'm studying. I've got like books laid everywhere, and I'm taking notes. And sometimes I get to a point where I'm just reading and looking things. I'm on my Bible and reading and studying and writing. And then all of a sudden I get to a spot, and I just like lay it down. And I was just like, wow. And verse 23 was that moment. How many of you have heard Romans 6:23 before? Here's what it says. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now that I read it for you, how many of you have heard 6:23 before? Yeah. Probably all of us, I would guess, have heard Romans 6:23. Now, why have you heard Romans 6:23? Because it is the most used verse in a gospel presentation ever. Have you ever shared the Romans Road with somebody? Sometimes Romans 6:23 is the only verse used in a gospel presentation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. There's the gospel for you. And we use it to say, sin leads to death, Jesus leads to eternal life. Is that true? Yes, definitely, 100%. Hopefully you now see after Romans chapter 6 that that verse means way more than just that. This verse is the perfect conclusion. Those simple words are the perfect conclusion to everything we've said for 3 weeks now. Because it holds up and clearly defines this beautiful, beautiful contrast that he's been showing us all along with freedom and sin and different masters and forgiven versus freed and all these different things he's been saying. Here's this great contrast. And I'm going to put up my note takers out there. I've got a summary that I want to give you for the great contrast of Romans chapter 6. Here's my summary, and here's how chapter 6 verse 23 summarizes it perfectly. First contrast, the master who you serve. Is it sin or is it God? Sin versus God. The second thing is the outcome of our service. Once we begin serving one of those masters, what is the outcome? Death versus eternal life. And lastly, and here's the gospel. How is the outcome reached? A wage earned versus a gift received. When you're a slave to sin and headed toward death, who earned that? You did. When you've been freed from sin and you're enslaved to righteousness, heading towards eternal life, who earned that? Jesus did. And he gave that to you. Bondage to sin results in shame, continued moral deterioration, and eventually death. Bondage to God results in progressive holiness and the free gift of eternal life. Those who are in Adam serve sin. Those who are in Christ serve God. Easy question. Do you want to serve the man who loves you? Or the one who brings you into his royal family? Do you want to serve the master who kills you? Or the one who brings you into his royal family for all eternity? Brothers and sisters, I hope today you see your conversion in a whole new light, and maybe with a whole new appreciation, and also a whole new obligation. Not just asking for forgiveness, but surrendering your life to Christ in service to him and his kingdom. There's only two masters. Choose life or death. And we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the incredible truth that we have seen today in your word. Father, forgive us when we have made light of what salvation truly is. We've made light of what Christ has actually accomplished. or made light of the surrender of our lives and made something cheap and easy out of it. Lord, forgive us for teaching the gospel in such a way that maybe it is easy to say, shouldn't we sin so that grace may abound? Lord, we don't ever want to dispense that teaching again. We want to join Paul in saying, I am a slave to Christ, set aside for his purposes. On that day, when I prayed for his death and resurrection to be applied to my life, I have surrendered to him everything that I am, all of who I am, my entire life. I am now in bondage to righteousness, and I live daily for the kingdom of my Father God. And for me to say, shouldn't I sin so that grace may abound, is impossible. It's nauseating to think the thought. Lord, let us always preach the gospel in that way, and not out of any kind of self-righteousness, quite the opposite. Out of understanding the fact that for a long time I served a master that destroyed me, that led to shame, suffering, that he embarrassed me, that he beat me down, that he was leading me slowly and painfully to death. And it is my privilege to serve a master now who loves me, who gifts me with things beyond anything I can imagine and way beyond anything I could accomplish on my own. And he's prepared a seat for me at his royal table. Lord, let us preach that gospel. Let us preach it with our words. And also let us wake up every day and preach it with our lives. That I'm sorry, I can't live that way any longer, because I'm a slave to righteousness. I am bound to my God, and I exist every day for him and him alone. Lord, let us preach that gospel in the words we say and the ways that we live our lives. Thank you, Father, for your love, your goodness, your true salvation in the truest sense, and for the privilege and joy of serving you. We love you, we praise you, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.